Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for May 30th, 2008. Other animals share most of our genes, so it's no surprise they can tell us a great deal about ourselves. This week, researchers are learning how stress and obesity are related by studying rhesus monkeys, what fruit fly genes reveal about aging and pain, how some rats are recovering their vision thanks to Prozac, and what the platypus genome can tell us about the history of mammals. But first, Suzanne has a story about some very negligent mice.
Why are some parents caring while others completely ignore their offspring? Humans are much more complicated than mice, but new evidence suggests that attentive parenting in both species may be strongly influenced by neurochemicals in the reward center of the brain. At the University of Wisconsin-Madison, neurobiologist Stephen Gammie and his colleagues studied a strain of mice of which one in five females chronically neglects her offspring.
They would give birth, the pups would be around for a few days, but they just started showing a lack of maternal care. They weren't caring for them.
The researchers compared the brains of these neglectful mothers to those of more attentive ones shortly after they gave birth.
We've got pretty strong evidence that these brain pathways that are involved in parental care and the reward pathways, those that help make offspring rewarding, are disrupted. And we see what appears to be a hypersecretion of dopamine in these mothers.
Gammie and his team aren't just studying these mice for their own sake. He says a similar thing might be going on in the brains of human parents who neglect their kids.
From our perspective, what's interesting about this model is that it's got a lot of the features that you see in human neglect. Some people have speculated that when you see neglect in humans, it's maybe in part related to the fact that they're just not receiving the normal reward from offspring that most parents receive. And our results seem to suggest that something about that reward system is not working properly.
Gammie says these mice could expand our understanding of maternal neglect in humans as well. He says treatments that target the neurobiology of the mice might make them into better parents. Such treatments could be a basis for developing human therapies down the road. But that's not the end of the story. Gammie and his team also swapped the pups of attentive mothers with those of neglectful ones at birth. They were surprised to find that when the nurturing mice raised newborns from neglectful mothers, they too became negligent parents.
If a litter came from a previously neglectful mother, it in fact induced neglect in some of these otherwise perfect mothers. And that was a little surprising, and that suggests that sometimes cues from offspring actually may be involved in inducing neglect.
Gammie and his team are now trying to figure out what some of these cues might be.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, since we're on the subject of rodents, I heard an interesting story this week about some researchers in Europe who are using the antidepressant fluoxetine, also known as Prozac, to help some rats see their world differently.
Wait, do rats get depressed?
I'm not sure. But in this case, I don't think the researchers were trying to cheer them up. The rats actually had a vision problem called amblyopia, or lazy eye, and the antidepressant improved their sight. Jose Maya Vettencourt of the Normal School of Pisa in Italy says the results were dramatic.
We observed a recovery of vision in adult rats with normal visual functions permanently impaired.
He says the drugs helped the rats' brains rewire themselves in response to a simple treatment, covering up the good eye to make the weak eye work harder. That technique normally works for juveniles whose brains are malleable, but not so well for adults. The next step is to see if the antidepressant has similar effects on human amblyopia patients. Next, our New York correspondent Justin Warner looks to the platypus to help us understand what's so unique about being a mammal.
The duck-billed platypus looks like it's been stitched together from spare parts. It's got a body and tail like a beaver, a bill like a duck, and venomous spurs on its hind feet. And although it's a mammal, it lays eggs. Now scientists have finally cracked the platypus genetic code, which could help them understand other mammals, too. According to geneticist Wes Warren of the Genome Center at the Washington University in St. Louis School of Medicine, the platypus is one of only five surviving species of ancient egg-laying mammals called monotremes. The other four are varieties of echidna, or spiny anteater. Monotremes were the first mammals to branch off from their reptile-like ancestors back in the Jurassic period.
And we really needed to fill that hole in our phylogenetic tree to better understand the emergence of mammal-specific traits.
Those traits include lactation, sweat glands, and a sophisticated brain area called the neocortex, which is responsible for higher thinking. By studying primitive versions of those genes in the platypus, researchers hope to uncover new insights into how these genes function in all mammals, including people.
Thanks, Justin. Well, it probably isn't a great shock to anyone that stress and overeating often go hand in hand. Now scientists are starting to get a handle on why. Suzanne explains.
Female rhesus monkeys have rigid social hierarchies in which the dominant females constantly harass subordinate females, causing them lots of stress. And researchers at Emory University have found that when they gave the monkeys a variety of food choices, the subordinate females chose higher calorie foods than the dominant females did. They also ate more frequently, even in the middle of the night. The researchers took blood samples from the monkeys. Not surprisingly, the subordinate females had higher levels of cortisol, or stress hormones, in their blood. These hormones cause the body to store more fat for each calorie consumed. This could explain one of the ways that stress can lead to obesity.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, luckily for medical researchers, humans and fruit flies have a lot in common, too. In a recent issue of the journal Aging Cell, researchers report the discovery of a fruit fly gene that is analogous to the gene in humans that causes a disease called Werner syndrome. People with Werner syndrome age rapidly right after puberty. Fruit flies normally live only 2 weeks, and the ability to study the disease in fruit flies will be a boon to researchers looking for new treatments.
And fruit flies are revealing insights into more than just aging this week. Researchers have also discovered a protein in fruit flies called pain.
Pain?
That's right, P-A-I-N. Not surprisingly, it causes the flies to change their perception of things from pleasant to noxious. In people, similar proteins are involved in anxiety and pain on the one hand, and attraction and addiction on the other. Studying the fruit fly protein could lead to new treatments for a variety of disorders.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's our show for this week. Next week, we'll tell you about the overlooked dangers of nitrogen pollution. We'll tackle some listeners' questions about everything from magnetism to cats and explain how the continents of the Southern Hemisphere came to be. Until then, tune into the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition. We've got a captivating new science story every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website or at iTunes. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.